Hey, Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, and this is actually a special episode of Geekscape. We've taken the recording from our Christmas stream, our 15-hour charity Christmas stream for Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and I've put it here for y'all. What this next hour includes is a conversation between Matt, myself, Brian Gilmore, Ben Dunn, and Heidi, talking about the good old days of Geekscape and a little bit of, like, I think we go around the room and talk about what we're grateful for. But really the highlight of this episode is a story that Ben tells about spending the night at Gilmore's upon moving to LA. That really is the highlight of this episode. So buckle up, enjoy the podcast, and we'll be back with a brand new Geekscape next week. If you enjoyed Geekscape, share it with your friends. Leave us a 5-star review. I really appreciate it. Enjoy the episode. All right, we are back, and just once again, let's do a quick refresh and see where we're at. We are still sitting at that $319 donation. Feel free using support.mentornj.org, mentornj.org, to donate. Our goal is to get to $2,000 before the end of this live stream. That is enough money for 1 year of placing a big brother with a little brother. But now, enough of me. Let's bring in Jonathan London, the podfather, the king of Geekscape. Do you want to introduce the other three people that are joining us on this live stream? Because they're two of your oldest friends, and one is a girlfriend. So I think it's only right.
Real quick, I just want to say, amazing job, dude. We are over $300 on our way to $2,000 on this charity live stream. And then, you know what? I'm going to get a little holiday smaltzy for you, but it just makes my heart burst to know that this little thing that we started 15 years ago with two of the people that are waiting to be on the show right now has turned into something where we can make a difference like this. I'm just watching the interactions online, whether it's on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or Twitch. And I'm just loving that we built this little thing that can make a difference for people. So that's really awesome. And again, if anybody watching this or listening can go and support our friends at Big Brothers, Big Sisters, the link is on the screen, as Matt kind of clumsily spelled it, support.mentornj.org. Go there and see what you can do. And also, you can also volunteer at your local Big Brothers, Big Sisters of America and be a mentor, be a big brother or big sister to somebody who needs it. As we heard at the very beginning of this whole thing, these kids from the ages of 6 up through high school, a lot of them need mentorship. And hey, I've been providing it for 15 years. Let's bring out our good friends, Brian Gilmore and Ben Dunn, who were part of this from the very beginning. Brian Gilmore and I started this thing on Laura's couch, and he was part of the very first episode. Look at him there. And Ben Dunn was also part of the very first episode because we went to visit him in Seattle. And we went to his local comic book store, and Ben was part of that show as well, which is amazing. I asked Ian Kerner to be here, and Ian just says he's just too busy watching the last Mandalorian episode for the 38th time and breaking it down shot by shot, so he won't be joining us. But yeah, that's pretty amazing that you guys are joining me here 15 years later. Brian, did you think we'd be dead by this point?
Yeah. How many years has it been? When I refer to, like, doing Geekscape, like, at this point, I know it's more than a decade? Oh, shit, really?
There's 15? A 1 and there's a 5.
Oh, my God. I've been saying, like, 12, 11 years, something like that. But that's, like, when people, like, last decade kept saying the 90s was 20 years ago. And so, goddamn, we're getting old.
Yeah, well, I just tell people I'm still 24. I look it, right? This is all Trump's presidency. And Ben Dunn looks like he broke into a car to sleep last night. If you're watching.
This is what Ben Dunn woke up this morning, so.
I've been on set for this feature that I've been producing for no less than 9 days, and I don't know what my home looks like anymore.
Ben, like, what by producing? Do you mean that you're on set producing with the mechanics, or are you part of developing the project as well?
I came in last minute for this, okay. So I'm just on set right now for this one.
What I'm looking for is an excuse to bring you back at the culmination of the project, in the release of the project, to be on Geekscape to talk about it. But if you're not personally invested in it, fuck it, let's just bring you on anyway and just have you be a part of it. And good luck to everybody on set in making this project.
I have a bunch of other stuff that I've been coming from. One of my tours just got into our first festival, so that's exciting. We actually got two.
All right.
So, yeah.
Speaking of people making the festival rounds, I'm going to ship this next person to India, where our film, Chasing Fletcher Allen, is premiering in May. They are actually holding the festival. Let's keep in mind, India has the second largest amount of infections published to the United States, and Heidi wants to see an elephant. So that's I'm shipping her to India.
He loves you. Just like make up little. That's not exactly how our conversation went. But I just said, you never know with the vaccine. Maybe it will be safe to go. And who knows? They may actually change it too. You know, at the moment, that's what they've decided to do. But it's premiering. Yeah, it's I guess it's our first international premiere.
But that it is. If there's anything I love about you, it's that you have just this boundless amount of hope. Like the hope that a population of India will be vaccinated by May. Heidi, it's beautiful. I love it. I love how positive
you are. They have fewer cases than we do right now, and they have more people, so.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever met Brian. So I should meet Brian.
Nice to meet you, Brian. I'm Ryan Gallagher.
Yeah, that's been by design.
There we go.
You know. Yeah.
Hi, Ben. Nice to see you.
This is as long as he could have
gone. Heidi, let's just.
Everyone he introduced me to from now on is just like, I did my best. And now, very sorry. Very nice.
The best thing about this is Matt Kelly still wants to play a game. Anyway, Heidi, yeah,
I've been looking at all the posts on Instagram.
Yeah, let me just Matt, you stay the hell out of this.
I have the ability to mute Brian, which is a big plus. He doesn't even know.
Heidi, let me just put out the timeline for you. Shortly after Gilmore and Ben met through Geekscape, Gilmore started dating Ben's sister, and I had to actually ask Gilmore and Ben separately, are y'all good? Because we're thinking about doing this whole segment on Saturday. Y'all good? So that's why you haven't met Gilmore. He is a you know how larvae like get into things and they hatch eggs? That is our resident Gilmore. He is our little Geekscape larva.
Oh, so little cute little baby.
He's just a little baby.
Do
you also want to play this game?
When I met Brian, Brian was like, what, 21? So that means how old are you now, Brian? 72?
I'm 35 years old.
He doesn't look a day over 60. Anyway.
Funny. You guys are hilarious.
Real fast.
You're watching the Geekscape Network.
You're watching the Geekscape Network.
That's my voice at the end.
I knew it was Matt because like almost every other story on Instagram is misspelled in some way, shape, or form. And it brought me back to like a nostalgia because I haven't been a part of Geekscape for more than 8 years probably now. And like, it's such a thing where like my immediate reaction was like, oh, I should probably like immediately the first thing I wanted to text this account that just followed me, by the way, was YOU'RE for like a simple, for like a very simple thing. And it's like, okay, that's fine. And I did it because I'm like, I am done. I think I'm done getting on Matt's case for how the English language failed him.
Is this the public school system that failed me?
Gilmore. just to remind everybody, if you don't want kids to end up like Matt, please donate at the bottom of the screen. You're going to see a link for Big Brothers Big Sisters. They need your help, and we have 9 supporters, over $300 towards stopping more Matts from being created. Because listen, be a
assembly line of Matts just getting dumber.
Actually, hold on a second. Number just went up.
Yay!
I've missed all of this. I've missed all of you. Matt, I have no idea how you've stuck around this long.
blind hope. Blind hope that it'll work out one day.
What else are you going to do?
One of the things we could do is play a card game called.
Yeah, okay, yeah, put the game up. No, listen. You know,
Matt's essentially stayed back in what is basically the ice truck.
Ben, isn't this cool though, Ben? Like, look at this. We didn't have all these fun bells and whistles.
No, yeah, no, this is really nice. I like the graphic. Everything looks nice. The producing is great. And yeah, it seems really cool. The logo's the same, which is nice. Wearing my Super Action Man shirt, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah, we got all these shirts.
And you can mute Ben whenever you want.
Never called.
And Nerdist also never called Matt.
Thank goodness. Right?
You guys got it. You guys got any one of those internships?
It's fine. Nerdist is gone now, so.
Is it gone?
I'm gonna tell you, John, you've outlasted Geek and Sundry. You've outlasted Nerdist. Let's just be honest, Nerdist is done. What's the other ones? Amy Poehler's Nerdy Girls. G4's trying to take
Are you just
back,
naming Comic Con parties?
Machinima?
Shit. Yeah, let's see. Nerd HQ.
Just naming the fact that the entire digital industry just kind of crashes every 3 years.
So let's be clear. Who's the real larva around here?
Yeah. Yeah. Is a pot calling the kettle black? Like, you guys are like the cockroaches of podcasting. Whenever I tell anyone I did a podcast, I guess 15 years ago, it sounds like they had those back then. Like, I guess they did, and we did it, which is ridiculous.
I just distributed it on LimeWire. It was tight.
Yeah. Every episode had like 200 trial names.
All right. Ben, Brian, Heidi, Matt, I'm sorry. It's time to play the game. I think we should do this.
All right, let's do it. The last time we played this game was on an episode of Geekscape, and Jonathan shared the most depressing story I've ever heard in my entire life. So this is
Funny depressing, or was it
no? It was really bad.
It was really good. It was just also very sad.
It was very sad.
Yeah. So he told the story really well. It just bummed the whole stream out.
Totally. Okay.
So this is from the podcast Mortified. They put out a game called I Can't Believe That I Did That. And it's a storytelling game where I'm going to draw a random card. And this random card, this is perfect for us. A moment when you were completely obnoxious. The most offensive story wins.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Who wants to start this one?
Being obnoxious. Let me think.
Yeah, I think the hallmark of me is that I don't know when I'm doing it. Like, why would I have this before?
Maybe Jonathan can tell you.
Did we mention 15 years of this? Like, there's a lot to pick, and I can actually argue that I'm at 42 years of this. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, wow. Okay. Nice to see you.
Big Yeggs dropping big balls. Okay, Ben, how are you feeling? You're silent on this one. How do you feel about this outing yourself as the most obnoxious moment you've ever had?
I'm trying to think.
Just say you're on set 5 more times, you'll hit it.
Yeah, exactly. Shut up.
Did I mention I'm on set? I'm here in my trailer. Is that a pillow and a blanket in the background?
He has his sun guard up so he can take a nap because that's his house.
It's very glamorous.
Where's Joe?
Hollywood life.
He just logs off.
I knew why I left this shit.
The only thing that's jumping to mind is the most obnoxious I've ever been was accepting a producing role on Geekscape, the radio, when we were at the radio station. I didn't actually do shit.
No, don't say that, Ben. Don't say that, Ben. I don't want to go all serious, but I think there's always like a balance, and I think Katie and I are finding a balance as she's my co-host currently. We're finding a balance too, and it's just you're great, Ben. I always like I just like people there for the support, and if all they do is laugh or say a couple jokes here and there, that's definitely enough. And we all know that's all Gilmore provided. So, okay.
The most obnoxious moment for me, I think, was when I, early on in my living in Los Angeles, when Gilmore and I both lived in Culver City, I would spend multiple times, I think this was before he started dating my sister, maybe it was after, I'm not sure, but multiple drunken nights pass out on his couch. And there was one night that a squirrel somehow got into his kitchen.
A squirrel.
Do you remember the squirrel that came through the kitchen vent and started like rampaging around your apartment? And I screamed so loud, like the little 14-year-old girl I was, and went busting into Gilmore's bedroom, and he was butt-ass naked, covered in chicken wings. And I was like, come out of his room to go take care of the squirrel. I think that might have been the most obnoxious because I just didn't care. Also, I wanted to.
You were?
Yeah. So I walked out of the room, and Ben is there, a grown man just screaming at the top of his lungs that, like, something's wrong. Something's in here. There's something in here. And then I go to my living room. Literally, how I solved the problem is I calmly opened the door and it the way that story ends is a man got woken up by another man. Man, two opened the door. End of crisis. Like, that was fine.
Wait, there's a part of the story where you said you went into Brian's room and he was covered in chicken wings?
But naked, except for...
covered in chicken wings? Okay, I do know what I think you meant, which is hilarious, because I remember this to this day. I had eaten a rotisserie chicken the night before, and I had it on a small plate that I didn't bother to take back to the kitchen. And so I was, like, sleeping, and at the time, I had a mattress on the floor because I was sweaty warm. And so, the chicken, like, started getting cold and reacting, so it started oxidizing, and it looked like I just skinned and eaten a pigeon with my bare hands for breakfast before Ben got up. Like,
I don't even understand.
Boston screaming, and after the ruckus was over, Ben definitely like was just like, it looks like you just ate and killed a pigeon. After just screaming at the cutest animal that's ever been in my apartment. Like,
that's funny. Hey, you dated my sister, you son of a bitch.
Jesus. I mean, I'll go, I guess. try to save it.
You think of something and you're like, I need to go now.
So I think that beyond pretty much my entire personality in my 20s, when I basically was hired by Geekscape to be obnoxious at Comic-Con every year, just screaming at passersby for six straight days from morning until night, just coming up with stupid ways to convince someone to grab a postcard from us. That's it. I got nothing. John or Brian.
Well, next summer, we're covering you in chicken wings.
I just like that you, I was covered in chicken wings. Like, I imagine too many chicken wings. Like,
I imagine buffalo sauce all over you.
Yeah, I like too.
I like the story.
My sauce.
Somehow the story was over with opening the door, and I was like, no, hold up. Hold up.
I wanted to just pass right through that. I don't want to dwell on that. It's just chicken wings on the floor.
Heidi, you live with me. What would you say is your entry into the game? Your story or for me? Because I mean, I live a life of just obnoxious behavior. It is nonstop. Can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah, like what are the non obnoxious things I've done? Like that's a shorter list.
That's a much shorter list. I sleep, I snore and I'm obnoxious. So like,
not obnoxious though. Like, come on, that's just snoring. Okay.
It is. It's very.
I mean, there was the other night where you were falling asleep. You were asleep and you rolled over, and suddenly, and it was dark, and I had just fallen asleep, and he went, oh, and he jumped up and like started like screaming at the air. And I don't know what the hell was. I was like, what happened? And he swore that he'd woken up and seen like a giant spider on his hand, but he had it. He just.
In retrospect,
that would be a nightmare.
In retrospect, it was one of the spiders that from Ralph McQuarrie's imagination that was in the Mandalorian episode earlier this season.
Oh, right.
It was next to my head in my sleep, and I woke up like I swore it was there. It was smacking at everything near me.
Yeah, that's not the most obnoxious.
On the Jonathan scale, that's not it.
Yeah, I'm scared of spiders. That's what surprised me about it. He was the one that was freaking out, but I'm the one that's really scared. So.
Heidi, what would you say is your most obnoxious moment ever?
Well, I did think of something, but it's kind of sad though, like the outcome of it though, because I was in high school and my sister and I, we would get, I see this with you and Paul, Jonathan, like when you get together, and I think it's with siblings, they just get really goofy, you know what I mean? And you just start laughing and nobody gets your jokes, but you just become so obnoxious. And we were out to eat with our mom and my stepdad, and her name's Tisha. Tisha and I were just goofing off, and we started to take the piss out of my mom because our family does that. Like we tease each other. But my mom must not have been in the mood that night because she was laughing. She was laughing at us. She was laughing at us. And then she started to cry.
Oh, sorry. That's when you
and
know
Tisha
you.
And I were
that's
like,
how you win the game.
Tisha and I were like, and my stepdad looks at us and he goes, I told y'all to stop because she wasn't feeling it. But he didn't say feeling it. But you know what I mean? Like, that's probably the most obnoxious I've ever been because I made my own mother cry because I was just teasing her, but you know,
I'm going to award bonus points to Heidi because it was in public. It was in public, which goes a long way.
And you know, Barbara and Bruce, so it's not easy to make my mom cry. She's not a crier. So. Oh,
no, she takes a punch in the stomach with the best of them.
When she started crying, she was like, and I've been shopping for Christmas presents for you all day. Just the worst. Like, wow. I felt awful.
I just thought of Brian Gilmore's most obnoxious moment, at least for me. Ben, you might have to help me with this, but I believe the story was essentially that Gilmore had the only key to a hotel room at San Diego Comic-Con that was supposed to house like seven people, and they all just had to take refuge in John and I's room for hours waiting for Brian to come back from party hopping until 2 in the morning.
Like, excuse me, like 4 in the morning.
You know, in Brian's defense,
yeah, I mean, if we're going to go with Brian Gilmore obnoxious at Comic-Con stories, there's too many.
Yeah. In Brian's defense,
too, and I'm like, I want to know these too, because it's pretty much the entire time. That's actually what I was thinking, is just me at Comic-Con in networking mode is like the worst version of a person. It's just so fun to just like think about, it's like, all right, which one was obnoxious? And they're like, no, they're all about the same. And then like, maybe the answer is literally all of them. And because there's like a common denominator, and it's me at Comic-Con. But I've heard Comic-Con has changed completely since. Has it? Is it like completely different than it was when I used to go?
We just swapped you out with Shane. Anyway.
Oh, that's leveling up. Yeah.
That might be your luck. Well, right there, Johnny.
The truth is, back in those early Comic-Con days, what's seven more people in that Comic-Con room? We don't even notice them.
Yeah, it was a different time. People
were sold into the walls in the ceiling. It was like a hive structure in those early Comic-Con rooms. So
yeah, in the early Comic-Con rooms, we spent most of them rooming with like other geekscapists. and I think the worst year, I mean, if I can just say our friend... Stephen Prescott's most obnoxious time.
Was volunteer into the game.
Anywhere near us. He's the worst snorer I think I've heard in my entire life, and I experienced that with all of you.
Jonathan?
Yeah. Oh, no, Jonathan was fine, but paled in comparison to our friend Stephen, who the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He chants in like ancient Aramaic whenever he snores. Like actual demons come out when he snores.
Just colored
goats. Whoa, Gilmore. Speaking of Comic-Con and obnoxious, I don't know what you've been reading lately, Gilmore, but have you been keeping up with any werewolf lore?
No.
I don't know. Do you remember that when Ben on the drive home, drive down to San Diego one year, we were talking about like the ridiculousness of something that had to do with werewolves. I think it was a short film or a fan film.
I think we were talking about the Underworld series.
The Underworld series.
And Ben was on a rant about the Underworld series.
He goes, where in werewolf lore is it established? And immediately screech halt to the conversation. And Gilmore and I were just like, that may have been the nerdiest thing ever said in this car, and it's my car.
Yeah. Yeah, where it's just like, that was so nerdy in a car. Like, it was just like, oh, that was so
if you
much.
Want because to talk about
so indignity, he yells just like, where in werewolf lore is it blah, blah, blah. And then, like, at the end of the sentence, we're like, oh, shit.
We need to get him one of those church signs with the yellow signs that, that people talk about, like, walk around outside Comic-Con with. And we should just like have Ben... Yeah, we should just have Ben parade the name in the name of werewolf lore and religion. Just get a walk around. I don't think people.
Yeah, with a hashtag only the lupine.
I just don't think people respect it enough. Ben's like, fuck you guys, I'm going back to set.
All right, I think we've all shared a story, so we can move on to the next card. A moment when you try to attract someone with your smoothest move, the biggest flirt wins.
Gilmore. I mean, in your defense, you have the highest to climb, so you flirting is like the you just go
it's like a panda riding a skateboard. Yeah, like
Gilmore. Gilmore, like, early on in me knowing Gilmore, messaged me one time to see if I could find a Jeff Buckley cover song for a sex mix that he was going to make.
That sounds like me.
Yeah, it was Jeff Buckley doing "Sweet Thing" by Van Morrison specifically.
There's nothing rapey about this at all.
I don't remember doing that at all. It's great. Hey, I remember Matt. Doing a thing, so I believe you. Like,
Matt, while you're at it, can you find me some chloroform and maybe a pendulum that can hypnotize somebody to sleep?
Shit.
Just six sheets of clear plastic. Oh, my God.
Well, Ben, Brian, what would your actual answer be?
What was the question again, Matt?
The time that you used your smoothest moves.
Interesting. I know Ben's answer for this.
The squirrel? I lathered myself in chicken wings.
What was my smoothest move? I don't know, because I was just kind of Mr. Magoo my way into anything possible. Like, I think there's, let me see. There's my smoothest move. I don't know. I mean, lately, nothing fun to hear. Like, I cook, like, multi-course dinners when I'm trying to, like, bang someone.
That went from a sweet story to an awful sentence in, like, one word choice. Yeah,
you, you pan the camera over and she's just dead on the ground.
I want to hear Ben's, because you apparently know Ben's answer. I want to hear if Ben knows Ben's answer, because you said that with a lot of confidence.
Well, for one, my internet is garbage right now, so I couldn't even hear what the question was.
Oh, a time that you used your smoothest moves to woo a lady.
Right? This is Geekscape. Like, when have we ever done that on purpose? It's not in our arsenal. Next question. Like, not a thing. You can't do that. It just doesn't.
What did
make
you
sense.
Think was Ben's answer then? That's my question then.
Oh, I think once in college, he has a karaoke song that has gotten him laid. And quote unquote, and he thinks that it will always get him laid. So whenever we were around a girl that he liked and we were doing karaoke, which was a lot at the time, he would always sing, Ben.
It was Creep by Radiohead.
Yeah.
Creep by Radiohead?
Yeah.
Really? Yep, that's your thing.
Yeah.
And that would make the girls go, oh, Ben, I can
change him.
Ben, I'm done. It's you, right? Is that what they get it? Because his last name's done.
That extended hold note at the end that I can actually hit.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's what you were in our musical, weren't you?
I was. The things that I've learned since, and, you know, I got married, I'm assuming because of it, is you don't need to sing. You just need to know how to cook. And I learned this from Brian Gilmore, I would say, is learning to cook a good steak will get you more ladies than anything.
I mean, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I saw in you, Johnny.
Yeah, Jonathan, how do you not know how to cook yet? Like, what are you doing?
He cooks a little. He made breakfast this morning. So.
Yeah, he's eating Rice Krispies at the start of this.
Yeah. I did not make her Rice Krispies.
He got Rice Krispies because I made Rice Krispie treats for Paul because he's gluten-free. And then I look over the next day and Jonathan's eating the entire box of Rice Krispies. So he went and got more Rice Krispies.
I am
and he's
that
eating them now.
In the
house. He runs so much that he eats way faster and more than I do. So
he's like running marathons all the time now and stuff.
Yeah, he burns a lot of calories.
Yeah, the super isn't as funny because he's actually in shape now. So now it's just showing off.
That's not me. That is not me. Super Action Man is in much better shape than I will ever be.
That's true. And 10 times stronger than any man.
And hotter. I think y'all have heard this story, but when I was in the sixth grade, I wrote a note for a girl that I had a crush on. And it was, she sat in front of me in science. I was completely crazy about this person. And I wrote a note with my parents' phone number and said, call me at 5 o'clock, I want to say. That was enough time for me to get on the school bus to take me home, and then tell my brothers who were always watching TV in my parents' room, turn off the TV, get out of here. I got to answer the phone because the phone and the TV were in my parents' room. So I leave the note in the locker and I see her open the locker, find the note. This is sixth, seventh grade. And she's ecstatic. And she's going to all her friends being like, I have a secret admirer. Aww. You know, who do you think it is? Blah, blah, blah. And it's got my phone number in it. And so I'm just like shaking with excitement, remembering how excited she was the entire ride home. And I get off the bus, I sprint, I make sure I'm like, I'm ready to say like the best stuff whenever I reveal who it is when the phone rings. I'm just staring at the phone, probably for 30 minutes. And I'm begging my brothers to turn down the TV or like leave the room. They didn't. And the phone starts to ring right on the dial. that is like the coolest thing ever, that something that I had planned was coming to fruition exactly as I'd planned it. And I pick up the phone and I go, hello. And she says, hi, this is blank. And I said, awesome. Do you know who this is? She says, no. And I go, it's Jonathan. And she goes, oh.
That makes me really sad.
That was about
dumbest girl in the world.
All right, see you tomorrow. Bye.
Yeah. Wait, so what happened at the end? Did you like?
I'm not going to reveal like the what happened. Nothing. Like the conversation fizzled. She clearly was not interested, and I hung up the phone. I was embarrassed the entire rest of the year sitting behind her in science class, and I've seen this human being since many times in the years as an adult.
How many kids does she have?
Two? One? Three? I don't know. But
yeah, that's like all my high school crushes.
She's still like wonderful, and in our 20th reunion, she recalled that we had dated once, and I was like, no, that is not how that turned out at all.
That's funny.
That's
great. Okay, so just for the sake of the game, I have like a short story of pretty much the same thing, where I would always go really hard for like the ladies in like school, and I would really I would adopt those things that like, you know, popular girls that people like to walk around with a bunch of balloons and constantly walk around with shit. So when Valentine's Day came around, I would always do something special for people. And 2 years in a row, I did something akin to having a teddy bear the size of a human, like sitting in there for when they arrived. And both times I was broken up with right after that class.
Oh,
really? I think the problem is...
You tried it twice, which is impressive.
Twice in a row. Yeah.
I was just thinking about, sorry, Jonathan's story and yours is just, that kids in middle school and high school, they don't know how to express themselves. So when things feel awkward, they don't know what to say, so they don't say anything, or they just like slink off. They're like, okay, bye.
Oh, she slinks. Yeah.
Or they break up with you and tell you for a half hour exactly why.
I also had braces and bottlenose glasses, like big old bottle cap glasses. I looked like the freaking Predator's kid. I was not good
looking. You were really cute.
I look like this with a middle part and long hair.
I love it.
I looked like the kid from Coco had been slapped with an ugly stick. And given...
Stop it. That's not even true. You just feel that way. I felt ugly when I was a kid, too.
Okay, so Heidi, when is the time that you've used your smoothest moves for love? And damn it, Matt Kelly, you're not getting out of this.
I've got my answer already. That's fine.
Okay. I guess I was in college. And so, okay, I should, tiny backstory, you know, when you're younger and like you like somebody, and I don't know, this may just be a thing that girls do. Did you ever get a note from a girl that was like, I like you. Do you like me? Check yes or no.
Well, that doesn't happen to us. Welcome to Geekscape.
Well, I did that a few times as a kid. So I thought when I was in college, there's this guy I liked. His name was Nathan, is still Nathan Smith. And
outing him.
He's fine.
I'm on Facebook checking your friends list.
He went to Harding. He probably doesn't even
listen. Just dropping personal information left and right on this story.
What's his mother's maiden name?
I didn't know that one.
You guys just social perchance?
What's the last four?
What is the big deal? Like, I know it's not a big deal. He would be like, oh, that's me. Like, if he heard that I said that. So he lives nearby here. But I went to school in Arkansas and to this very conservative private school. So we didn't have like dancing or anything like that. We had like hay rides and stuff. And so I was in the social club and we're having a hay ride and I wanted to go with Nathan. So I made a little note, but I wrote it, like I put the crayon in my hand, weird, so I write it like a little kid. And I was like, will you go to my hayride with me, yes or no? And I put it, we were in choir together, okay? And so I put it every day when you come into choir, you pull out your little choir folder, it has your music in it. So I knew which cubby slot was his. And so I found this folder and I put the little note in there. that. And he said yes, and he went with me. And then we dated for a few months.
Heidi, you didn't find it weird that a dude was attracted to the writings of a kid? It was a Christian college. Never mind. It's probably par for the course.
Yeah, I get it.
He was just setting up. That wasn't an honest question, Heidi. That was John doing a setup for his own punchline.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me finish my story, though. I appreciate that, Johnny.
Hey,
is he running these days, Jonathan, when a woman has to say, thank you for letting me finish my story with someone that's bad, dude?
So it's not misunderstood. Like, I think that he, and you're just going to have to deal with this, Johnny. I think he is brilliant. I think he's very quick-witted, and his brain works so fast that sometimes when we're sitting with friends and I'm trying to tell them something, he thinks of jokes. He's probably thinking of some right now, and he wants to interrupt me really bad to tell the joke. But after a while, it makes me crazy. And then I have to be like, I love you. Please let me finish my story. So that's what I'm talking about.
That hot pair of bags is talking again.
That's a good way to do that. That's like a really good way to do that. That's like really, really nice. Like, you know, when someone else takes care of your dog and they show you something about it, like it feels like that. Cause we dealt with him for so many years and no one could ever get him to shut the fuck up. So it's really nice that somebody finally has been able to just, like, corral him in. He seems so soft and nice now.
Big Yangster said, any man should be so lucky to get a love note from Heidi. Well, I got a birthday love note from Heidi. Heidi, why don't you hold it up? Because it just left glitter all over my table.
Are you guys in the same room?
No, we're in the same apartment.
I'm in the dining room. He's in the office. So it's his birthday, but there's glitter all over this.
She was like, why didn't you take your birthday card out and leave it on the table? I'm like, because it'll put glitter on everything.
But it's Christmas. My scarf has glitter in it. So, or it's it's the holiday season. It's Hanukkah right now. So, and but I scribbled out. It said sometimes you make me crabby, but I scribbled out. I said sometimes I make you crabby. Sometimes I like changed it.
I'm just crabby all the time.
I said but we still belong together. It was very cheesy.
Gilmore knows I'm crabby all the time.
Like, what is Christmas movie?
Crabbiest before he learned boundaries. It was great. Like,
what a brilliant.
You know those things that you used to write about on Facebook all the time? The boundaries when you were doing your mindful stuff? You remember?
Oh, yeah. We were all a part of Jonathan's mindful lectures Facebook era. Like, that was fun. Those were actually very nice. Like, for years, John went from the person who was just, like, making more fun of me than anyone else in the world has ever done that, to, like, being, for all intents and purposes, like, a crystal guru for, like, 2.5 years. And
he was like,
those were always, like, nice words to hear on a random morning. Like, yeah. It was always,
I'll get back to it. Fine.
Because John, for like the first like decade that I knew John, you couldn't get an honest, emotional anything out of him ever. And now every once in a while, if you're lucky, there might be a comment or a compliment here or there, which is that's about progress.
He used to drive me.
We've come a long way with him, I think.
Those posts used to drive me nuts. I'd be like, hey, Johnny, like, you know what? I know you're feeling a lot and you know what? It's probably because you're giving birth to a new person and that is painful. Childbirth is painful and you're giving birth to a new human. Then he would get on Facebook and he'd be like, I'm giving birth to a new person. So that's like really painful. So. And I'd be like,
oh, is that your smoothest move?
Oh, no, wait. Is John
the mask is off.
Stealing your writing?
We were not always. He was just...
He was inspired by her words.
I have the bigger audience, so I just thought that we don't. To answer the last question on this game, my most obnoxious moment is continuing now.
is this about to be like my mom? Like, are we taking this out too much? Sorry, sweetie.
I love that Megaran is watching. Megaran, I love you so much, buddy.
He's going. He will be live on the next YouTube video stream in about 15 minutes with his podcast, Matt Mania. So we can jump to the last question.
No, Matt. How about the time that you have used your smoothest move?
Sure, my smoothest move.
You ever seen Sleepaway Camp?
So my smoothest move was a girl that I was friends with as far back as college, but then I finished school and she continued to go to school until she got her PhD. And she was going
to say her puberty.
Yeah, she was Jesus Christ. She was going to school up in New York, and she wasn't able to come home for the holidays because she was working on her thesis. And she was kind of stressed out, and I got the address of where she was studying and had a soup and a whole like dinner delivered to her as she was sitting there studying. So
that is a very smooth move.
That's not
you would know her. She goes to school in New York.
Yeah, exactly.
How'd that turn out?
She got married to someone, but I was invited to the wedding.
That is the most Matt Kelly ending to a story.
Immediately got married to someone. How did she do? She realized she wanted a man.
By the way,
this soup is so good. I should find the man who made it.
Which goes back to the main point of this: learn to cook.
All right. So, last one: a moment when you were totally oblivious. The biggest blind spot wins.
All of these are things that you don't really know you're doing them when you're doing them.
Yeah, but retrospectively, some people realize things and grow from it, Gilmore.
Yeah, well, Matt, you know me.
Okay.
This is supposed to be funny, right? Like, mine's not funny.
None of these are anything but traumatic questions.
I like the game.
Put sprinkles on, but like none of these are questions you friend look like. You're not trying to make friends with someone with these questions. You're not like, oh, here's a nice fun thing to answer. It's just like, what's the worst thing that's ever happened to you?
Okay, most oblivious. Y'all, I think Heidi's heard this one, but I am. I go through life like pretty oblivious the whole time, but in high school, I had a friend who was from Utah, and she had moved to go to Texas to go to school with her parents moved for work. But I am a Utah Jazz fan, like a hardcore Utah Jazz fan. John Stockton's my favorite player of all time. Robert Bacon, who is the host of 91 Donkey Lane, he knows this. I'm a hardcore Jazz fan, and she would come over and watch the Utah Jazz with me. Because they were on television all the time, because it was Stockton Malone, and she would watch these Utah Jazz games with me, and I thought it was because she was from Utah and she liked the Jazz. One day, I'm walking into her car. This is like junior year, maybe senior. This is junior year. I'm walking into her car, and I'm like, "So, what do you think of the game? They're really great this year. They might be able to go to the finals." And she finally stopped and goes, "Jonathan, I don't want to talk about it. I don't even like the Jazz. I just like you." And this is like months and months of Utah Jazz games into the friendship. And I had no idea. I asked her to the next thing we were going to. I think there was one of the dances in high school that I never went to. I went to two, not the prom, but the homecoming. Okay. And I think I took her to a homecoming and that was it.
One hug at the end.
I didn't want to ruin the, I didn't want to ruin the Jazz fanship. When she said
wearing the jersey every game, so I had priorities.
I mean, in my defense, when she said she wasn't a Utah Jazz fan, I immediately found her complete. Like, I was like, "What? I don't see anything in you anymore." Why am I still talking to you?
All right, Gilmore, do you have a story for this just yet? I know I have mine queued up.
I have one.
Okay, let's jump to it.
All right, so I'm half Guatemalan, and whenever
you're half human, look how tall you are.
I'm an ant in Guatemala. The first time and ever, only time I've ever been to Guatemala, I stayed with my family, who's very, very poor there, and they live in one of those very like developing nations, like turquoise walls, like very small place. There was a little like building that. It was a small apartment complex with like one water thing in the middle. And the way it works is that they have that, and that's sort of their water. So I'll explain that more in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I was in middle school, and I got up first morning in another country, and I go immediately to brush my teeth. And it's the first thing you do in the morning. So I brushed my teeth and I'm like, oh, this like sink seems flooded. So I'll just use this sink so I don't like waste any water or whatever. And then, so I just like brushed my teeth. I spat, did my entire thing. And as I was like finishing and like gargling, like I think my mom heard me gargling and she came in. It's like, no. And so what happened was that building doesn't have running water. Yeah. That building is water to eat and drink. For every family in the building was that thing that I thought had been. So it had completely, like, basically there was just, I woke up as an American that they were welcoming into their complex, and the first and only thing I did was literally spit in their water. And I had no idea what I was doing. But I did it. I did it just really, really, really casually, and then I learned that yes, I guess every day at 5 a.m. they turn the water on for like an hour, and then everyone gets what they need. So I think it's probably the most oblivious I've ever been because I had
no idea
of doing that, and I still feel bad about it.
Well,
I've heard stories like that about
that is the most Gilmore thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
All right, so for mine, we're going back to Matt's dating life. Always an exciting topic. So there was a girl freshman year of college that I had a huge crush on, and I told her so, and she was like, nah, I think we're just friends. And so I took that as the honest truth. Okay, cool.
We're hashtag just trust women.
Yeah, so like 2 or 3 years later, we're still really, really good friends. And she comes to visit me at work one day and she's like, hey, you're done work at 5 o'clock, right? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, do you want to hang out tonight? I was like, yeah, what do you want to do? And she's like, I don't know. I was thinking I would make you chicken Alfredo because I know that's your favorite dinner and we can like watch a movie or something. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So like she goes out and buys chicken and buys all the pasta. And then like we meet up at my house and she cooks everything. And then I'm like, well, what movie do you want to watch? And she's like, oh, how about we watch like When Harry Met Sally? Like she pulls out like a hardcore rom-com, puts it on. She's like snuggling up next to me. And I'm just like, well, she said we're just friends. So I'm not going to make any moves. And it wasn't until like years later that I was like, oh, and I asked her because we're still friends. She's married now. And I said, hey, I just remembered this really random night. Were you coming on to me? And she's like, yeah, you idiot. Like, so
I didn't even put on When Harry Met Sally. I put on the porno version. Like, what is happening?
So, yeah, that was my most oblivious moment for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's how many years later was it? Like, how
it was like 9 years later. It was well past the time to you know, really be able to do anything about it.
Are these coupons still good?
Pretty much.
Yeah, like Matt did the equivalent of finding a Circuit City coupon.
That's better than Radio Shack.
All right, Heidi, you're the last one.
You got any of these PS2s?
Man, I don't know. Like, I can't think of one that's not like. Johnny, can you think of anything?
Because you're oblivious.
Because the only thing I'm thinking of is like family stuff, and I don't want to say.
Oh, I did not mean to do that. Sorry.
We'd rather look at you anyway. So I don't know.
That's the weird thing. The thing with Heidi is Heidi's incredibly empathetic, and she is in tune with everyone's energies all the time. And she is always telling me whenever I'm grumbly, and I'm always grumbly, she's like, well, whenever I am grumbly and I'm a little snippy, she's like, are you okay? Is everything all right? I'm like, I'm fine. I honestly think that I'm fine. And then like 2 days later, I'll be like, you know what? What the fuck? And I'll just be in a bad mood. And I realized that Heidi is like one of those earthquake detection services for people. And she sees like the Richter scale starting to shift a little bit long before we do it. So like she is the birds that leave before the natural disaster.
The control room in the movie The Core.
Yeah, she would be the dolphins leaving Earth if we were going to do Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Like she's like, peace, I'm out. Jonathan, I can tell that you're not doing too well. And I'm like, I'm doing fine. I'm just going to go in and have a run and ignore the world.
But I don't peace out, though. I'm like, talk to me. Let's talk about
it. Oh, my gosh. She wants to do that shit at 11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, can I just read a comic? And she's like, tell me what's in your soul. What's troubling you? And I'm like, please. I'll tell you what's troubling me at this moment. I want to read my comic.
My oblivious moments usually are about my blind spots. And I mean, I know like there was a time, I have a half sister. We don't really talk very much, but there's some chaos in my family, blended family divorce, some not so good stuff, but like one side of my family can be kind of harsh. And I used to have like these, what I thought were confidential conversations with my half sister. And then somehow my dad and her mom would like come back at me when they'd be mad at me, and they'd be like, well, you said this. And I'd be like, what? How do you know that? And then I would say to her, my sister, I'd be like, how do they know that? And she'd be like, I don't know. I don't know how they know that. And I started to realize that I had a blind spot when it came to her. But like, that's not a funny story. It's just,
no. And I would agree, Heidi, that you are very much too trusting.
But I believed her for a really long time until I really realized, oh, she's telling them. And it, for her, it's a survival thing and whatever. And it's, I'm a grown up. It's not like I'm going to deny that I said any of this stuff, but it's just weird. So you there does. You go.
You see what she does.
Now everyone can be depressed.
She's all heart. It's like the heart and the fart living together in one place.
So rude.
Well, happy holidays.
You're watching the Geekscape Network. Yeah.
Well, we ended on a pretty sad story from Heidi, but let's pick it up just a little bit. Heidi, please. before I remove you from the feed and we move over to the next live stream, how about you tell people about the short film that you have that's playing in India?
Ooh. Well, that'll be in May. We're still waiting to get details, but yeah, Jonathan and I co-wrote a short film called Chasing Fletcher Allen. It's about a woman trying to find her way. It's about a woman really like the moment that she realizes that she's had everything she's ever needed all along. And Phil Lamar's in it. Jenny Van Dien's in it. Cooper Barnes is in it. Eugene Burt. It's a lot of really cool people that you've had on Geekscape, Johnny. And Jonathan directed it, and he did a really amazing job. And it's, yeah, I'm excited for it to be seen some more, even if it's in a country that I cannot visit. I really want to go, but maybe we'll just have to wait.
Yeah, and you Geekscape were a part of putting that movie together. So
yes.
Thank you for that.
Oh, my God. Now I sound awful. Yes.
No, it's fine.
And, yes, thank you so much to all of you who have been a part of this and have – it would not have happened without your support.
Well, and thank you for being the unofficial voice of Geekscape that ends every single podcast.
Until you find someone better.
No,
Gilmore's not coming back.
Brian, right. It's so good to meet you. Finally, yeah, I've heard about you last. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
Sending Heidi.
And Gilmore.
Ooh, let's never do that here again.
Dude, I hit that view every now and then on the main show, and I cannot stand it. Brian, I got to tell you, man, I've loved having you here for this hour, and I would love for you to be part of Geekscape some more. I'll pay you what I pay Matt, and it's just been great having you, dude. You are, I think, the original of my little brothers, my littles, as they say, big brothers, big sisters. And I think you've turned out, you're still alive. That's what I'll say. I'll say you're still alive.
We could expect, and that's fine.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.